Well, that's a good song, isn't it? We're saved through the power of the cross. I know and I've experienced that power in my heart and my life, and I hope that you have as well. It's good to be back in the house of the Lord, and we're thankful for the presence of God and His sweet Spirit and how that He's been working in our lives. It's important for us to be revived during this revival and to be refocused and to gather our thoughts and our minds and our hearts upon spiritual things, upon the right thing, upon the commission that Christ gave us as a people and as a church. And to be focused on the lost is an important part of that being revived. And I hope that we're experiencing that in our own hearts and lives. Last night, I wanted to preach at midnight. We didn't quite make it to midnight. I wanted to do at least one thing like the Apostle Paul, and it came to me that if somebody were to fall out dead, I couldn't revive them, like happened in the church service at midnight where Paul was preaching. But these thoughts started bearing upon my heart and my mind as we were engaged in the altar service last night, and I feel inclined to try in my weak way to deliver them to you tonight. You have your Bibles turned to the 40th Psalm, Psalms 40. I'll only read the first part of this psalm. It'd probably be in our best interest if the entire psalm was read, because on in the psalm there's prophecy concerning the incarnation of Christ and the redemption or the sacrifice of Christ. So in other words, as we look into this psalm at the first part of it, the first section of it, the first few verses of it, we know that whatever the psalmist experienced, he experienced because of the coming Messiah. He experienced it because of the sacrifice that was made at Calvary. The righteousness that relieved him, and he talks about that later on in this psalm, about preaching this righteousness, about this righteousness of the Lord that was in his life and in his heart, verses 9 and 10. We know that to be the imputed righteousness of Christ. Not only was this man's sins canceled, but he received the righteousness that is in Jesus Christ. That's the only righteousness available to mankind, the righteousness of Christ. So the prophecy in the latter part of the psalm, I believe, bears upon the relevance of the first few verses of the psalm. And so I'm just going to read maybe the first four verses for our time together this evening. I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. And He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust. I want to pray. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, I want to come before you and ask that you would look down upon your lowly servant tonight as I try to impart and rightly divide these passages of Scripture. I pray, God, that this word that's been read and this audience is hearing tonight would have great relevance, that it might enter into the very core of each one of us, that we would recognize how that this relates to us. May we understand how that we too have experienced this similar experience through the prophecy and through the proclamation of the gospel. We thank you, God, for helping us in all of these times that we've come together in these revival services. And we are constantly and perpetually dependent upon you for all of our needs. And so we pray that you'll bless us and bless your word tonight. For I pray it in Christ's name. And amen. It's clear from these passages of Scripture that the psalmist David was looking back over his life and conveying to us his plight, his predicament that he was in. He described it as a particular place. He was in a very dark place. He was in a horrible pit, the Bible says. Now, there's a lot of people that think that perhaps David was having reference to some kind of sickness that he had experienced, or some kind of sickness in his family that he was referring to when he made reference to this horrible pit. Some have said that perhaps it was some enemy that was encroaching upon him, that he was under some kind of military distress, and so he was in this horrible pit. I do believe that this pit is symbolic and that it has reference to some kind of situation, some kind of circumstance that David was in. I remember back early in my childhood, I remember people getting up and testifying. I remember preachers preaching and they would come across the conviction of sin. And many of them would relay it as a pit that they had been delivered from. Remember that? Probably some of you have done the same thing. Through the years, we've heard Sister Carol talk about being pulled out of a pit. And she was having reference to a spiritual circumstance that she was in. Now, it could be that David was in a spiritually dark place. And I think there are many pitfalls in our Christian life. I think there are occasions in our life where we can go through periods of doubting. We can go through periods of difficulty, spiritual struggles in our Christian walk, trying to understand different circumstances or situations of life. And it feel like that we're in a horrible pit, just like David was in. I remember when I was young, my mother used to tell me a story about when I was just a toddler. And my parents lived up in Franklin, Kentucky, and they lived on a farm in Simpson County. My mother, as a young mother, she was doing some things around the house. She had placed me on the porch to play. I'm not even sure exactly how old I was. I was able to kind of get around and walk. And she happened to notice that I was gone from the porch. And she began to look for me. And as she looked on the porch in the yard, I was nowhere to be found. And there in the front of the house, there was an old well, a cistern of sorts. And suddenly she was troubled. She was hysterical. I mean, she thought, he's in this well. She ran to the field and she got my Uncle Dillard, who was plowing on a tractor. He got off the tractor and began to come to the house and come to the front yard. And some of you that live out in the country, you might remember some of those old cisterns or old wells. And sometimes the only thing that covered them was a plank or two. And they were convinced, my mother was convinced, that I'd fallen in that well and drowned. She pleaded with Uncle Dillard, go in after him. And I'm convinced that had it not been for my fearless, mighty dog, my wiener dog barking, my uncle would have went in after me if he was assured that I was in that pit. Fortunately for me, my dog saved me. I had a little Dachshund. I didn't have a donkey like Balaam, but I had a Dachshund. And somehow that dog kept me from going in that well. I was discovered with my pant leg hung on a thicket and my little Dachshund running around me. The point I want to make is that this place that David was having reference to was a horrible spiritual place. It was a place of spiritual death. Listen, if you remain lost and in your sins, you'll die in your sins. Jesus said, he that believeth not on me will die in their sins. You're in a terrible place tonight if you've never been saved by the grace of God. This condition that David was in, this place, I believe there are several passages of Scripture that allude to this place not being a literal place. I've read the Old Testament. I've studied the life of David. There's a lot of details of the life of David. I never read where that he fell into a physical pit. We know this pit was much like a cistern or a well, a deep hole, basically is what he's having reference to. But he wasn't in a natural pit. He was in a spiritual pit. And I believe those old saints of God long ago that made that comparison and were able to relate their experience from nature to grace and the conviction of sin and compare it to being delivered out of a pit, I believe that interpretation is correct as we look into these passages of Scripture. Now, I'm not saying that there aren't spiritual anxieties and perplexities that a Christian can get in where he needs the help of God, where it feels like that he's drowning and he just needs help. That's one particular aspect of this pit that I want us to consider. We look in 143rd Psalms and verse 7. And there in that particular psalm, David also makes reference to this pit. He referred to it as a spiritual pit. Actually, he referred to it as a spiritual separation. If you're separated from God spiritually tonight, you're in the same kind of pit that David was in. David was in a spiritual dark place. And he made reference to those that go down into the pit. Now, this despondency that David was going through, there are periods of times, perhaps, where we go through spiritual despondency where it seems like that God is far from us. But I'm thankful that once you're saved, He's always with you. Now, there may be times where He is silent to us and seems like we can't get our prayers through. Come on now. Y'all know what I'm talking about. There are times in our Christian walk where it seems like that we're in a pit of sorts and we need the help of God. And that's a characteristic of the pit we're going to get to in just a moment. This kind of pit that David was in, only God could deliver him. In this 143rd Psalm, we read where he said, "Don't be silent to me. Hear me, O Lord. Hear me speedily. My spirit faileth. Hideth not thy face from me, lest I be like those that go down into the pit." There are those that are in the pit and there's no connection, there's no communication. They are separated from God. They are distant from God spiritually. Listen, if you're separated from God tonight, if you've never been saved by the grace of God, you're in the spiritual pit. And listen, my title is very simple. There's only one who can deliver you and pick you up out of the pit. And that's Jesus. Jesus is the only one who can pick you up out of the pit. Now, as we look into like the 28th Psalm, verse 1, there's the same declaration by David. He basically said, "Don't be silent to me." See, there needs to be a spiritual connection between us and God. There has to be a spiritual fellowship between us and God. There has to be a spiritual relationship between us and God. And if there's not a spiritual relationship, if there's not a spiritual fellowship, then you're dead in trespasses and in sin, and you need new life. Amen. My mother was convinced when I was a child that if I'd fallen in that well, that I was most likely dead. People in the pits of sin, they're in death. The Bible talks about spiritual death. Spiritual death is a separation from God. And these people were going off into a pit. They were spiritually separated from God. They were not living for God. They did not know God. There was no kind of attitude of spiritual things or holy things in them. And David was convinced that they were going down into the pit because God was not dealing with them. God was not walking with them. God was not living with them. God was not chastening them. There was something wrong with those folks. They were separated from God and they were going down into the pit. This is obviously and clearly a spiritual condition. You look like in Psalms 35 and 7. In Psalms 35 and 7, there it talks about a trap, a pit that a person lays, a snare, the wickedness of the world. The world has laid many snares and many pits. There's many pits out there. There are people that have fallen into these pits of sin. And there the psalmist talks about those that dig a pit for the soul. He was talking about a spiritual condition. Listen, this condition that David was in, He was in a spiritual separated state from God, and he was also in a spiritual place of death and judgment, and he was in a horrible place spiritually. He was in a place where his soul was lying in the pit. So we're not talking about being physically pulled out of the pit, but we're talking about your soul being pulled out of the sin of death. Only Jesus can do that. Amen. Yeah, only Jesus can do that. So this pit is, and his plight and his predicament was a dark spiritual place. It was not a physical place. It was a spiritual place that he found himself in. And he called it a horrible place. The soul is in a horrible place when it's separated from God. And there in that 35th Psalm, verse 7, where it talks about they have digged a place and digged a pit for the soul. Listen, there's a lot of entrapments. There's a lot of allurements. There's a lot of people that are luring people away from the gospel and away from church and away from spiritual things. There's a lot of distractions, and I pray that none of our children will fall into those distractions. Listen, you need to have your eyes opened. You need to be awakened to the fact that you're in a horrible pit and you need Jesus to get you out. In Isaiah chapter 24 and verse 22, there the pit is depicted as judgment. Judgment, a place of prison. That, listen, those that are in the pit are imprisoned. Actually, if you read like in the book of Jeremiah, Jeremiah 38, around verse 6 or 7, Jeremiah the prophet was preaching the truth, and they didn't like his preaching and they didn't like his prophecy. And so they threw him in a dungeon, or they actually threw him in a pit. It says that he threw him in the dungeon of Malachiah and the son of Hamilah. Basically, those that had some authority, the officers of the law, those that had some kind of position in government, the municipalities, most of them had little pits in their homes. It is said that the high priest that held Jesus during his trial, that he had one of those in his homes when we were over in Israel. They took us to the place that they had excavated, and they took us down to this house, and they said that most of these homes where these officers lived, and they had these places, these holding cells. They were prisons. They were the holding cell for prisoners. And when they had a prisoner that was to be arraigned, and then before they got the court pulled together, they would put them in this pit. And the tradition is that Jesus was placed in this particular pit. I'll never forget when we climbed down in there. And there was a staircase that they had made. Actually, in that day, they used a rope, and we walked down that staircase, and as some of us couldn't all get to the bottom of the pit, but when we got down in there, we pulled out our Bibles and we read the 40th Psalm, because the Lord has delivered us out of a horrible pit. Jeremiah was incarcerated in such pit. Actually, if you look there in about verse 6 and verse 7, it talked about how that the mire, that he sunk in the mire, and there was no water or food available. And somebody petitioned on his behalf, and they were concerned that he was about to die. Listen, if you don't repent of your sins, if you don't look to the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to die in that awful place, in an awful condition, in that horrible pit. One of these days, listen, you'll move from one pit to another. The Bible says in the book of Revelation, John the Revelator saw, "I saw an angel who had the keys with a great chain." He had a key with a great chain on it. And it tells us that he had the key to the bottomless pit. And he went and he laid hold upon the dragon, the old serpent, the devil, Satan. He laid hold of him and he cast him into the bottomless pit. Listen, there's a future place for those who refuse to get right with God. There's the bottomless pit, the eternal pits of hell. If you study closely this word that's used for horrible in verse 2. Now listen, I haven't moved along very far in this message. I'm just talking about the place. where David is alluding to and having reference to. It's a spiritual place. It's a place like a prison, a place of condemnation, a place of judgment, a place where that he is separated from God, a place of death. Listen, you don't want to remain in that place. You need to be delivered from that place. It's important for you to understand how important it is to avoid sin and repent of sin. Actually, if you look through the Proverbs, a sinful lifestyle, a way of sin, people who live a way of sin, like in Proverbs 22 and 14, it says the mouth of a strange woman is a deep pit. There's a lot of pitfalls. There's a lot of sinfulness. I contend that Christians need to stay away from sin. I contend that sinners, if they come to the Lord Jesus Christ and really get saved, they're going to have to turn from sin. In Isaiah 38 and 17, it says, "Behold, for peace I had great bitterness, but thou hast in love of my soul delivered it out of the pit of corruption." So not only is this a place of separation, not only is this a place of judgment and condemnation, and not only is this a spiritual place, a prison house of the soul, but it's also a place of corruption. I'm thankful that I've experienced the deliverance out of the pit of corruption. Peter talked about that, didn't he? He talked about being born again by the Word of God, by the incorruptible seed that liveth and abideth forever. And he talked about a living hope that we have. Do you have that living hope? Yeah. Where that he has delivered us out of the pit of corruption. This is not only a pit of despair and death, it is a pit of corruption. He went on in that passage in Isaiah chapter 38 and verse 7. And he talked about how he was delivered out of the pit of corruption. He went on and said this. Listen closely. "For thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back." Praise God! If you're ever delivered out of the pit, you're going to have to be delivered out of sin. That's good, isn't it? All right, so we're talking about this pit. I want to remind you again, as I mentioned at the beginning of this message, as we move through this psalm, there are some remarkable and very special prophecies concerning the Lord Jesus coming, concerning His incarnation, concerning His death on the cross, concerning His righteousness. Listen, I still contend that David was delivered out of the spiritual dark place by the Lord Jesus Christ, looking to the cross, looking to He who was going to come and provide the righteousness that was needed to cleanse him from his sins. Yeah. So, our text describes a horrible, we're talking about a place. I want to move on through several things. Not just the place, but his prayer, his patience that we read about in verse 1. The power of God that brought him out of the pit, the platform of the solid rock that he's standing on, the praise he gives to the Lord for being brought out of this horrible pit. And also, as you look through this psalm, you read about his profession and his promise, his proclamation about, "Blessed is the man who puts his trust in the Lord." What will happen to that man who puts his trust in the Lord? That person will be brought up out of the pit. Yeah, that's what it means. Anyway, the word horrible has, in the Hebrew, has reference to, I think it's the New American Standard, it's translated destruction. In the RSV, it's translated the roaring pit. In other words, the Hebrew actually is referring to a pit of noise. And when I came across that, I thought of what Jesus said, like in Matthew 13 and verse 50, where he talked about those being cast into an everlasting place of torment where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. As you read on in this passage, and it talks about not only a noisy pit, I believe what he's referring to is a place of calamity, a place of great turmoil, a place of great chaos. Have you ever been there? He was talking about having this this miry clay, sinking in this miry clay. And as you look into that, those words, those old Hebrew words, there's three of them that are used for miry clay. It's having reference to turmoil and trouble and chaos, just like Jeremiah, where we read there where he was going deeper and deeper into the miry clay. This is having reference to a spiritual departure, a spiritual death, going deeper and deeper and deeper, like the sorrows of death compassing him and the pains of hell getting hold of him. This was a terrible place that he had gotten to spiritually. There was such disorder and such chaos in this miry clay. It wasn't real dirt. It wasn't real clay. It wasn't real mud. It was the conviction of sin. He realized that in his life there was great instability. Great instability. Listen, if your life is in chaos tonight, I've got an answer for you. Jesus will bring stability to your life. Yes, He will. I think it was one a commentary that said this is like a mud storm. He was in a hurricane of mud kind of situation. But he was sinking deeper and deeper. Now keep in mind, this miry clay, just like the pit, it is a metaphor. It is a reference. It is a inference. It is a symbol of what he was experiencing. He saw those that had been put in those places of imprisonment and gone down into those deep holes in those pits, and those that were incarcerated in those places, and he compared his spiritual condition to what he had seen in those that had been placed in those places. In Psalm 69, he uses a mixture of metaphors of like just deep water rushing over him, just like he's drowning. He said, I sink in deep mire where there is no standing, in verse 2. I am come into deep waters where the floods overflow me. Verse 14, deliver me out of the mire. I'm thankful God can deliver us out of the mire. Even in the Psalm 69, he was not alluding to or referring to real water. He was talking about just having the feeling or the sensation of drowning. He said, no, neither let the deep swallow me up. Verse 15. Let not the pit shut her mouth upon me. You don't want that pit closing its mouth upon you while you're in there. Listen, where death finds you, eternity awaits you. If you died separated from God, if you died dead in trespasses in your sin, if you die and never been set free by the blood of Jesus Christ, if you die in sin's bondage, if you don't come into the glorious liberty of the children of God, like Paul said in Romans chapter 8, if you don't enter into that freeness and that liberty that the redeemed of God have experienced, you will go into that bottomless, eternal pit of hell. All right, now let's move on. We talked enough about the place. I'm going to talk hurriedly about the patience. He says, I waited patiently, I waited and waited. I think what this sheds light on is the condition of the place, really. Basically, what it tells us is that he was waiting for God and God alone to get him out. You know about that? Man, there are some places in our life that only God will do. Amen. And when it comes to getting saved, being saved is one of those places. Salvation is of the Lord. The only one who can redeem you and save you and rescue you from the damnation of sin is God. God and God alone. And so his patience, he didn't call his mother, he didn't call his dad or his preacher, or he didn't call the city council, he didn't call upon anyone, he didn't call the priest. No, he called and waited upon God to deliver him. And you're going to have to do the same. You know, there are people here tonight, And I pray that God will just open your eyes and realize the place you're in. You can be sitting there in a suit and be in the pit. You can be sitting next to your mom or your dad. You may be twiddling your thumbs or looking at whatever you're looking at, or playing with something, or whatever the case may be. Just sitting there thinking, I'm fine, I'm in a pew, I'm okay. No! If you've not been saved, you're in the pit. You're just unconscious of it. You're just not aware of it. You haven't awakened and opened your eyes and seen the depths of the despair that you're in. When I was a child, I didn't know if I'd have fallen in that well and died. I didn't know there was danger there, but my mother knew there was danger there. And those of us that are saved, we know there's danger in that pit, right? You need to get out of that pit. I'm convinced with all of my heart. Uncle Dillard, if he thought I was in that hole, in that well, he would have crawled in there after me. Well, praise God, there's someone who crawled in the hole after us, and that was Jesus. That's why it talks about His incarnation later on in the psalm. He put upon Himself flesh. He appeared as a man. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. He lived among us and He died for us. He came into the despairing places of sin. He lived out His life and paid the consequences of sin, though He never sinned once. And He came down here to pull you out of the pit. So the patience simply tells us that only God could get him out. In the pit, you're under the wrath of God. The Bible says, he that has believed not upon the Son of God, the wrath of God abides on them. Those who have not believed, in the third chapter of John, it says, if you have not believed in him, you're under condemnation. Right? You're under condemnation. Because you have not believed in the only begotten Son of God, there's only one way to be delivered out of that condemnation. There's only one way to be removed from that wrath, and that's through the presence and power of God. He was waiting for God to lift him up out of the pit and set him on a rock and set him free and straighten out his life and straighten out his path. I'm thankful God still straightens us up. pulls us up out of the pit and delivers us and establishes us. That was His prayer. His prayer was a prayer of deliverance. It was a prayer of faith. Listen, you've got to believe that the Lord is the only one who can get you out of these circumstances. He's the only one that can redeem you from your sins. He's the only one that can bring you into a state of righteousness. He's the only one that can save you. Only one. There's only one way. There's only one name. There's only one person. There's only one salvation. There's only one Lord and one faith and one baptism. Listen, there's only one way you'll ever be redeemed, and that's through looking to Jesus Christ. You got to believe that the blood of Jesus will cleanse you from all unrighteousness. You have to believe that the blood of Jesus can set you free from the bondage of sin. Amen? And listen, if the Son sets you free, you'll be free indeed. He'll pull you up out of the pit and set you on the rock. Well, the rock's Jesus. Amen? Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, my sayings are like a rock. Christ is that rock. He was changed. He had praise in His mouth. He had a profession that others would just trust in the Lord. You can't get out of the pit till you trust in the Lord. You can't get out of those circumstances till you trust in the Lord. But when you trust in the Lord, He'll lift you out of the pit. He brought him up out of the pit. I'm closing. Get a song, Aaron. The night I got saved, I can't tell you a whole lot about, I can't explain a lot about it. But I knew that I was in a new standing with God. I had a spiritual perception. Yes, it was more than peace. It was a spiritual awareness. A spiritual awareness. I wasn't in that pit anymore. I mean, I went to the altar that night and I was down there. When I got up from the altar that night, I wasn't in there anymore. I remember I went to the altar a couple additional nights after I got saved. And I remember going to the altar, but then I was praying for Eddie to get saved. Man, I messed up. Man, if I'm in the pit, I should be praying my way out of the pit, not worried about somebody else being in the pit, right? I wasn't thinking pit, but I was, you know, and I got thinking, why am I praying for others to get saved if I'm not saved myself? And as I prayed there, I was like, you know what? That was it. That was it. I remember going to my dad, and I said, Dad, I got saved Monday night. And I said, I'll tell you one thing. If I were to die right now, I'd go to heaven. He said, that's good enough for me. I knew I wasn't in the pit anymore. Amen. Jesus had brought me out of that place. I was no longer in my sins. I was set on the rock and on my way to heaven. He'll do the same for you. Amen. Get a song, Aaron. Let's stand and sing. If you will trust in the Lord, that's the profession. That's the promise. If you'll look to the Lord Jesus Christ, He will get you out of that place. He'll put you on the rock and He will establish your goings. Can you say that with me tonight? If you were to die right now, do you know where you'd go? I mean, I didn't know a whole lot. I wasn't very smart. I was only a 10-year-old boy. But that was one thing that I did know. That I was no longer under the burden of sin. The condemnation was gone. I wasn't in that pit of despair. I wasn't on my way to hell anymore. I was going to heaven. I was on the rock. I was in Jesus and Jesus was in me. You can know the same thing. Amen. The old prophet said his arm is not short that he cannot save, nor is ear heavy that he cannot hear. No matter how far down you've gone, Jesus can reach you. And he's got his arm outstretched tonight. Listen, we're going to extend the invitation through another song. We'd like to pray with you and pray for you. Listen, you need to cry out to the Lord. He prayed. Just cried out to the Lord. Lord, only you can save me. And that's how it is, isn't it? I mean, only the Lord can save you. We brought you just as far as we can bring you. And now it's between you and God. The Lord alone can save you. That's what the psalmist felt. The Lord and the Lord only, in Christ alone, is salvation found. Amen. And I pray you get to the end of your rope like David did. He wanted out. Man, he couldn't climb out. He couldn't work his way out. He couldn't really pray his way out. Though he prayed, it was the power of God that brought him out of that pit. You know, a lot of people think that you can just pray some sinner's prayer and it gets you out of the pit. No, it takes the power of Christ to get you out of the pit. Because look, when you really trust in the Lord with all your heart, you won't hold on to nothing. You'll know that He is the only one that can deliver you. And you won't try to work your way through it, or you won't try to climb your way out of it. You'll look to God to get you out, and God alone. And if you'll look to the hills, which cometh your strength, you'll find your help for your time of need.